Welcome to One More Chapter. I'm Brian Rex Davis, editor of Action Magazine, and I'll be your guide as together we rediscover ancient wisdom for today's challenges. Thomas Carlyle, the 19th century Scottish historian, famously said, "Life without purpose is like a ship without a rudder." Chapter 1. Purpose Matters. Previously in our recent episodes of this podcast, we've been talking about the wisdom to face today's challenges of constructing a big picture of reality, a big picture of the way God reveals reality to us in ancient texts of Scripture. The power of a big picture is that it gives you context for things that happen in life. It gives you context for history. It actually gives you context for the things that you believe. And so forming a big picture is very important to having the wisdom God wants us to have. Now, in his scriptures of the Bible, he reveals himself the biggest picture, the widest angle, if you will. He reveals himself through the language of kingdom. And over the last few episodes, we've seen this big picture showing his territory or the hearts that he rules. He doesn't rule by force. He rules those who will be ruled by him. It's a free moral agency, a choice, a permission to choose, if you will, from our Creator. We see that he, though, is on the throne. He is the ruler of his kingdom. His power, we saw, was the power of righteousness, a spiritual power. We see his law of the spirit of life, and we see how that governs how we interact with him, especially in the form of covenant relationship. We see his communication as being face-to-face, but that we have a problem of sin that gets in between us and our Creator. But how, through the hope given to us in the New Testament, that communication can be repaired, that communication can be once again in a good, free-flowing relationship of healthy communication. And in our last episode, we saw how citizenship is offered in the kingdom of God by God himself to us because of the reason he created us. And the reason he created us is our purpose. Purpose matters. Now, many a philosopher, many a person in their life has sought the meaning of life. Why am I here? If there is a God, what does he want with me? Why did he make me? All of these are questions that are connected to the idea of our purpose. Our ancient text for today is from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament of the Bible. The book of Ephesians was a letter written by the Apostle Paul, one of the chosen apostles of Jesus Christ, a special, not only a friend, but a special worker that he trained and sent to share his good news with the world. And in the Apostle Paul's case, not only did he share that gospel with the Jewish world, but he was specially sent to share that gospel with the Gentile world or all of the other nations on earth. Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesian church in what is now known as the letter to the Ephesians around AD 60. So this would have been after the life of Jesus Christ. And he's talking to this church, this young church that he helped to establish, about their purpose in their created being. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. I'm going to read the entire ancient text, and then we'll go back and look at several key ideas. Starting in verse 3, it reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons, through Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. What a fascinating ancient text, and one rich in wisdom for our challenges today. As we look back over this passage, it does have some challenging aspects to it, some challenging vocabulary even. In verse 4, it says, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. This is one of those rare passages in the Bible where you get a glimpse of what God was thinking or doing before He even created the heavens and the earth. You remember in our previous podcast, we shared the innate quality of God of being eternal. He is an eternal being. That means He had no beginning, He had no end. Many people will cry out at that and say, well, that's just fairy tale land. That doesn't make any sense. Everything has a beginning and an end. But you see, God created beginnings and ends. And because He created that, He is bigger than that. He lives outside of that reality that He created. Yes, everything we have has a beginning and an end. But God Himself is bigger. He lives outside of that reality. He is eternal. It's one of His innate God qualities. But before the foundation of the world, God was thinking about what He wanted to accomplish in our creation. And so He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. He had a plan for us. In verse 5, it says, He predestined us to adoption as sons. Now, the word sons here is a form of word that is all-inclusive. Everyone that He created, both male and female, were created to be, in other words, His eternal children. But what often people struggle with is this word predestined. Predestined, in some people's minds, means that God makes the choice for us, and out of some random divine quality, He decides who's going to be His children and who are not going to be His children. Well, that would be a very sad reality indeed if that were true. But the word predestined here does not work in that manner. The definition does not lead us to understand this particular passage in that way. The word predestined here is being used to say that God has ahead of time established the rules of how this all works. He has established the process by which He accomplishes His purpose of having children for eternity. So, going on in verse 5, it says, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. So Jesus is central to His process that He has already thought through, that He has already established. Through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. All right, so we have a purpose delineated here in this ancient text. And I hope it's beginning to dawn on you the depth and the profound nature of our purpose. Many times I will teach courses on the Bible and particularly in the book of Ephesians, and I'll ask the question to people, what does God want with you? And a lot of times the groups I will be teaching are not Christians. They won't necessarily have any religious background, or perhaps they come from a very different religious background, such as Buddhism or animism. Quite often, people will give me religious-sounding answers. God, what does God want with me? Why did he create me? He wants me to worship him. He wants me to praise him. He wants me to serve him. Well, all of these things are true in a certain sense, but it doesn't really get to the core reason of why God made me, why he made Brian Davis. What does he want with Brian? Here we see that before time began, the reason he created the heavens and the earth and the reason he created me is that he wants a child for eternity. Now, as we look into our own hearts, that's not such a stretch of our imagination. That's not quite so hard to understand. How many of us would like to have a family? How many of us would like to have a son or a daughter to carry on our family name? Many of you can relate to that desire. Well, that desire exists in us in general because we are created, as we have learned before, we are created in the image of God. God wants to add children to his eternal kingdom, and thus we want to have children of our own here on earth. And so, this works together to help us understand ourselves and to understand Creator God. But our purpose is far superior than just being a praise singer. Our purpose is actually far superior than just being a servant of the King. Our purpose is to be a child of the royal family, either a prince or a princess in God the Father's royal household. What a significant reality. What a foundational principle of wisdom that will transform our thinking of ourselves. In fact, it strikes to our very identity. It helps us to have a high bar of identity that I am created to be royalty. I'm created to be a prince or a princess in the royal family. That's a high bar indeed. But as I think of my own identity, that has everything to do with what I aspire for in my life. You know, I've worked in some difficult communities, some difficult poverty situations. I remember working in one particular community that it was just rife with poverty, a lot of crime, a lot of prostitution. And quite often, as we would have Bible classes for individuals within this community, the ladies who were serving in prostitution of the evening would actually come to the Bible classes. And you could see the struggle on their faces as they learned about these great matters of wisdom revealed for everyone to know in the Word of God. One of the reasons that was such a struggle is because when you begin to think and behave in a manner beneath your creation, beneath your created purpose, then your person, your being, your perception of yourself, all of that begins to erode. You begin to develop a perspective of yourself that you are not worth very much or that you are worthless, and that's very closely tied to becoming hopeless. But in our very purpose in this ancient text, we see the highest possible description of our purpose in this life and thus our identity in this life. How empowering is that for us? As we go on through the text, verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. That's talking about Jesus. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. Now, we've talked before about how our behavior, when it is inconsistent with our created purpose, when we are disobedient to the instructions of our God, we have transgressions, better known in the Bible as sins, that separate us from our Creator. And thus we become spiritually separate from the giver of our life, our spiritual life, our well-being. Well, this has to be overcome. And of course, as we've studied before, God's plan to overcome this was through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus, God the Son, came to this earth, took on human flesh, lived a perfect life here on this earth, lived in perfection so that he could be the perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice whose blood had life because he had not been separated by disobedience. And thus his sacrifice was acceptable to God so that his blood could wash our sins away and God could see us in our perfect state, not because we had accomplished that ourselves, but because Jesus accomplishes that for us. That's why it says he has given us his grace freely. It's a free gift. A dead man, a person separated from God spiritually, can't really help himself. That's why Jesus, coming to this earth, gave us the help that we needed so that we could be enlivened to make a decision to come back into relationship with God the Father. That's what the blood of Jesus accomplishes. It's referred to as redemption. He buys us back. What we have lost, he has redeemed that back so that God can have what he wanted when he created us. He wants children for eternity, and he will have children for eternity. The question then becomes, will you willingly choose to be a child of God for eternity? And that's a very important question concerning your pursuit of wisdom in this world. Because without a clear purpose, why are you here? What are you doing? What does it even matter? You see how foundational purpose is to our understanding of ourselves and our having a reason for what we're doing in this life. It is foundational. The riches of his grace are bestowed on us in verse 7. Verse 8, which he lavished on us. It's not stingily given. It's lavished on us. In all wisdom, see, here we go. This is where wisdom for today's challenges becomes so important for us in the understanding of this passage. This has to do with the very wisdom of God that this podcast is focused on. In all wisdom and insight, verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will. So in times past, the understanding of his will was not as well understood. There were promises made. There was evidence given so that people could have faith in God and certainly base their faith on solid evidence. But understanding how God was going to resolve the iniquity, the sin, the transgressions of mankind so that God can come back together in relationship with us, that was just outside of mankind's reach to understand. But we in the Christian era, of all people, now know the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. With a view to an administration, verse 10, suitable to the fullness of the times. We are living in the times that are referred to as the fullness of times. In other words, Jesus Christ is the resolution of all these outstanding questions. Now, people in the Old Testament, the Old Covenants, the patriarchal era, the time of Moses, they had lots of prophecies looking forward, saying that the answers are coming, saying that God's love will find a solution. In fact, God knew that solution, as we see in these passages, before he even created the heavens and the earth. Now, you might say, if he knew all of the bad was going to happen, why did he bother creating the heavens and the earth to begin with? Well, that's actually a very good question. But it's the same question every parent has to face. Every mother and father, every husband and wife bringing children into this world, they are pretty sure that it's not going to always be a smooth ride. I know I have had two sons. My wife and I have brought two children into this world. And we were under no illusion when we got married and we had children that everything was going to be easy, a smooth ride, a perfect upbringing. There are always challenges, and there's always the risk with great love of losing those loves of our life. There's always great risk that someone will not choose to willingly reciprocate our love and be a loving child back to loving parents. And part of that is fraught with the difficulties that none of us are perfect people. All of us make our mistakes. We have sinned. We have transgressed. And so we aren't perfect parents, nor are there any perfect children. And so as they grow up and as parent and child grow, exist as two adults, sometimes that choice not to love happens. But very few parents would say that because of that risk, then we should not have children. No, there's something driving us, something deeper that drives us. And I believe it's because we are created in the image of God, and thus because God wants to add children, and he is willing to take the risk of adding children to his kingdom, children that can choose of their own free will whether they will reciprocate his love or not. I think so too. We, made in his image, want to have children, knowing the risks. So God, in the fullness of times, has sent Jesus to make it possible for us as his created beings, created to be his children, to have the ability to choose to be living children in good relationship with our Heavenly Father. Verse 10, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. You know, everything that God wants to give us, he can't give us as long as we are still in our physical forms on this earth. There will be a day coming where the full inheritance of what it means to be a child of God is consummated. The Bible refers to this as our glorification, when we shed this physical body through the process of physical death, and we become the spiritual being for eternity that he created us to be. That will be our inheritance, where we live forever in heaven with our Creator. Again, he says in verse 11, having been predestined according to his purpose, not pre-chosen. God doesn't just roll dice and randomly decide who's going to make it and who's not. That would be a rather distasteful, horrible prospect. No, God has thought through the rules of the process, and he has offered the same deal to me that he has offered to you. In fact, he's offered it to every person on earth. He has predestined, according to his purpose, to add children to his kingdom. His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Verse 12, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. Verse 13, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, and that's why our studies together diving into these ancient texts are so important. The only way you can know why you're here, what your purpose is, what God wants with you, is to read it in God's revealed word, here referred to as the message of truth. The next phrase says, the gospel of your salvation. The word gospel simply means the good news. The good news that we see in the New Testament, the latter portion of the Bible, where Jesus has come to this earth in order, in the fullness of time, to resolve our transgression problem, to make a way for us to have a covenant relationship with our Creator, and a way to eliminate our transgressions so that we can live in beautiful, perfect unity with Him, with God. And so he calls this the good news of our salvation. You see, outside of that gospel, outside of Christ, it is not safe. In our transgressions, we are enslaved to another spiritual being, a spiritual being we have studied about before by the name of Satan, an evil spirit, one who has chosen to disobey God, one who has chosen to be an enemy of God, who doesn't love us in any form or fashion, but who wants to hurt God by preventing him from obtaining children for eternity. And so he tempts us. He asks us to believe things that are not true, to behave in ways that are far degraded from the level of our created order. And thus, we need a safe place. We need to be saved. We need salvation. Having also believed, and you have to choose in your own mind to believe what is happening here. You have to believe that these ancient texts speak this word of truth, this message of truth. You have to choose of your own volition to believe that this is good news, else it will have no benefit to you. Wisdom not believed is just wasted information. But having also believed, you were sealed in him, in Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, plays his role in finishing this great plan of God. God had the idea before time began of how he was going to add children to his family, how he was going to resolve the sin problem that no doubt would arrive and has arrived, and how he was going to pay and redeem us, pay for us and redeem us back to him through the blood of Jesus. And now we are going to be sealed by his Holy Spirit. That means we're going to have a sticker of "we are reserved for God" put on our hearts, spiritually speaking. We are going to be guaranteed. That's another word for this sealing. We're going to be guaranteed that as long as we stay in faithful relationship with God, we have our place in his family. Nothing can touch us. Satan cannot forcibly remove us. Now, can we run away from home? Yes, and that'll be a study for another day. But as long as we want to be in God's family, he will seal us with his Holy Spirit. There is no other spirit on earth powerful enough to break that seal. There is no other spirit that can force us out of the hand of Almighty God. So this is a promise that is encouraging indeed. And verse 14, finally, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. See, if you choose to be God's, God owns you and you are sealed. You have a pledge for your inheritance, all to the praise of his glory. In our last episode, we looked at citizenship in the kingdom of God. Our purpose shows us that if we choose to be a citizen in the kingdom of God, if we choose to embrace our created purpose, we can have that full citizenship with all the rights and the privileges that come with it. We have a place to belong. We have a safe place, unassailable by any spirit that exists otherwise. God has decided this ahead of time. He has set the stage. He has set the rules of the process, and he offers it to you and to me. We can be eternal children in the royal family. In our next podcast, we're going to explore what those rules of the process are. In other words, how do I become a Christian? How do I get my Kingdom of God passport where I can prove my citizenship? How do I receive that sealing of the Holy Spirit and that promise that is so powerful, encouraging, and it's right there. God is not far away from any of us if we would but reach out and accept his lavish gift of his grace. So I hope you will be with us in our next podcast. Chapter 2, our sponsors always offer material where you can go deeper. You can study for yourself, not only the ancient text that we're focusing on in this podcast, but if this ancient text or this ancient wisdom has touched your heart, it has piqued your interest, and you're wanting to go faster than we go in this podcast, you're wanting to go deeper in other passages, other ancient texts that will help you better understand, that will explain these concepts to you, then our sponsors offer fantastic tools just for that very thing. One of our sponsors is Mathetes. Mathetes is a word that comes from a Greek word that means disciple, and in this case, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Mathetes has a wonderful series called Those in Need of a Savior. It's actually the second quarter of their original series. When you go to their website at www.mathetes.org, many courses for your perusal, for your study, are offered. But let me recommend this one in particular. It'll have this picture on the cover art that's on the website. And discovering the courses in need of a Savior. And all of the Mathetes courses begin with very deep questions presented in video format. And then you can go deeper into study, either by yourself, with another study helper, or with a group of people who simply want to go in that study together with you. It works as a social network, but it's a safe place in which to have these conversations. Mathetes actually owns the site and controls the site to where nothing untowards happens. So it's a safe place for this kind of discussion and study. The reason I suggest this is because this particular series introduces the person of Jesus. It helps you get to know who Jesus is and thus his teachings then about God's plan that he decided before he created the heavens and the earth. Before you get to the teachings, you actually get to know the person of Jesus. And by getting to know the person, his teachings will matter. That's foundational. It's just as foundational as if you were about to have a wedding, your own wedding, you were about to have your marriage ceremony, and you have to sign the documents for your marriage license. You would not want to sign that document if you didn't know the person you were about to marry. You wouldn't even want to bother reading the document unless you knew the person you were about to marry loved that person and thus wanted to get married. In the same way, learning about the plan of God matters so much more when you know Jesus. So take advantage of that course. It's a wonderful, wonderful series. As always, I want to suggest you're signing up for Action Magazine. I'm the editor of Action Magazine, and within Action Magazine, which has been publishing for over 50 years now, in-depth Bible articles and the latest tools for your self-discovery of those Bible principles, those ancient texts and truths that can encourage your life and help you communicate that wisdom to others. You will find those articles and those pieces of information that will encourage you in so many ways. You'll learn about other people's lives who have been transformed by this same ancient wisdom that we are in search of in this podcast. Finally, World Bible School is a program that has been offering Bible correspondence courses for the last 50 years, and it also has a number of tools that can be extremely helpful. One is the World Bible School Library. www.worldbibleschool.net. There's a tab called the WBS Library, and if you go there, there's a couple of resources that I think will be very helpful to you. One is a digital book that is called God's Big Picture. This particular book is an in-depth study of what we've been studying for the last number of weeks in this podcast, as we have been looking at God's big picture, so that the wisdom of the big picture can help us have the context to slot in every lesson we learn in a way that is balanced, that makes sense, where I have the aha experience, where when two things fit together, I say, oh, I understand it now. That becomes my faith. Check that out. Also, if you're a Bible teacher, a study helper, or you're trying to explain something in the Bible to one of your friends, then we have what's called the World Bible School Commentary of the New Testament in Basic English. Here recently, I've mentioned that in the podcast, and our first commentary book out was the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels that tells about the life of Jesus. But concerning the things of salvation, there is one book that really takes a deep dive into understanding how salvation works. Understanding the plan that God had before he created us, and that he is now in the fullness of time showing to us so that it is crystal clear, we can understand it. That's the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome. It's called the Book of Romans. It's a fascinating book in the New Testament, and if it's not on the website now, very shortly, that will be on the website under that library as well, under the World Bible School Commentary. I hope these resources are of great encouragement to you. Chapter 3. We always look forward to your comments and your questions. We read every one of them, and we will be looking forward to forming podcasts specifically for the purpose of answering your questions and sharing those comments. In recap for today, your purpose, the reason God made you, is that he wanted you as a child in his eternal royal family. That makes you incredibly important and one of the most special beings on earth. Let that sink in. Let that wisdom help form how you view yourself and thus how you interact in your life in the coming days and weeks. Our next podcast is going to be going much deeper in God's plan of how to become a Christian. In other words, how to obey his gospel and become a citizen in the kingdom of God. I'm Brian Rex Davis, and we have been exploring ancient wisdom for today's challenges.